I live in remembrance. We don't forget what Christ has done for us. In fact, it's because of what Christ has done for us that we can live a life of exception. We can live an exceptional life. We can become exceptional in our lives. It's because of what Christ has done for us that we can be in a single location like our physical church building, or we can be in many, many homes around the Toledo metro area and even around the world. And yet the Holy Spirit can still move and can still work in your life and in mine and in our families. It's because of what He's done. So Jesus, we stand here in remembrance. We remember what You've done. We remember how You sacrificed Yourself on our behalf. But You did not just sacrifice Yourself. You rose up in authority, in power. And we thank You for that today. Thank You for the confidence that we can have in You. It exists in no other place. It exists in You and in You alone. And we say thank You for that, mighty God. Thank You. And we remember that today. Oh, in the precious and awesome name of Jesus. And let everybody say, amen. Praise God. I believe just everybody said amen. I think people around the globe said amen right then and right there all together. And it was awesome. And God heard every single one of them. I've been enjoying the feedback that we've been getting from different people as you've shared the pictures and even videos of your kids participating in the services and praying and shouting amen or what have you. And some of you have been more amening me than you've ever done before, and down in the chat box, wherever it is on your platform, and you've been shouting amen, all caps, amen, and I love it. I absolutely love it. And if you are, if you haven't yet subscribed to the YouTube channel, then I really encourage you to do so. It makes sure that you see everything that we put up there for you to help keep us strong. But engage in that chat box. We are a community. And we see each other in there. I see every Sunday, I see people greeting one another in the chat box. We cannot be together right now for very good and very right reasons. But it doesn't mean that we have to be alone. There are ways that we can be together. And so I just encourage you, engage in that chat box, engage on social media. Let your voice be heard. Let your presence be known. And so praise the Lord for all that He is doing. God is doing amazing things. Pastor Benton shared with you that 37 people have, or 30, I need to not say too many numbers because I get the numbers all confused, but is it right? 37? 37, I was right. 37 people have made Jesus their Lord and Savior over the last couple of weeks. And this is a number I know for sure, and that is that 27 did that this past weekend. Over the course of the last few days from Easter Sunday until now, we have seen 27 people text in or email in to say that they have received the Lord as their personal Savior. And that is just so incredibly cool. We know that it is not us that's doing this. It's the Holy Spirit that is working through us. In fact, the scripture records Zechariah writing down the words of the Lord. And he said, "It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." And what he was saying is, whatever goes on, however it happens, it's going to happen because the Spirit of the Lord is involved, is engaged. And so anything that is being done right now that's blessing our community, that is blessing our church and faith family, it's being done because the Holy Spirit is working through His people. He's working through you. And I just say thank you for being a part of that. In fact, we're going to have a time of giving our God's tithes and our offerings before the Lord. And I would just encourage you, give as you are able. Be generous as you are able. Everything we're doing to reach around the world, everything we're doing to reach into your home is being done because of your generosity, because of your faithfulness. And we are in a good place. We're in a strong place because you are generous and faithful people. I say thank you, thank you, thank you for that. I'm grateful for our lead team and our pastoral team. I want to give a shout out to Pastor Becky in kids ministry. She's been doing such an amazing job putting out all kinds of great content for our kids, for both for Sundays and throughout the week. Through Easter Sunday, she put out all kinds of material so that we could enjoy Easter as families. And I just really applaud her for that. And if you participated in the Easter drive-by program, that was fantastic. I didn't get by every single home, but I got by a lot of the homes, and I was just blown away by the creativity. Some of you own very, very cool trucks. I'm not going to mention Gary's name. I'm just going to say really cool truck. I did not know that you had that truck. Just the creativity across the board was fantastic. Thank you for participating in that. We had a lot of people driving by, and it was a blessing to the community. In fact, I heard from some families that people in their community were coming by and talking to them about what was going on. Some even had opportunities to pray with their neighbors. Just amazing. And those folks don't even call this church their home. That's awesome. We're reaching people for the kingdom of God. This is a bigger picture than just McCord Road Christian Church, aka Five Lakes. It's bigger than that. It's about the kingdom of God. I say thank you for those who are serving in our community. If you go on the Facebook page, you'll find that we've been celebrating some of the team members who are serving in different capacities. Today, I think we were celebrating, or a couple of days ago, actually, we're celebrating Al Mercer. And they posted a picture of him. I'm not worried about embarrassing him because you can't tell who he is in the picture because he is COVID-19 appropriate with a face mask and everything else. And he's being very careful, but he's an airline pilot during the day, and that's his normal job. But right now, what he's doing is he's at a grocery store answering telephones, taking calls for people who need groceries and are at risk. And so we are serving them. Pastor Benton talked about us serving delivering over 500 bags of groceries or orders of groceries, rather, to individual homes. And so we're just thankful for what the Lord is doing. You're making a difference in the kingdom of God. We as a church are making a difference for the kingdom of God. And in fact, I'll say this and then we'll get into the sermon today. But I heard some feedback just recently. Somebody said that it was expressed to them that I've heard that McCord Road Christian Church, I've heard that your church is different. But now I see, now I understand what that means. I'm thankful. I have never been more proud to be part of McCord Road Christian Church, aka Five Lakes, than I am right now. Thank you for being that kind of church. And we're talking about being exceptional, about being not exactly normal, about something being a little different, unique, special, if you will, about who you are, who I am, who we are as children of God. And so we want to move further into that lesson today. In this series called Exceptional, we're talking about how God has designed us to thrive even under the most adverse of circumstances. And we're kind of in that space right now. We've seen how being like Jesus means being exceptional in the world. In fact, last week we said that the difference between normal and exceptional is found on the inside. It's not found on the outside. But let's go a little bit further than that. Let's look at a little bit different, a little bit deeper. Exceptional being on the inside versus on the outside is a really easy thing to say amen to. And I hope that you are saying amen. Oh, by the way, on Facebook, somebody keeps hitting angry faces on Facebook. Stop that. Just stop. No angry faces here. I see those angry faces, and I don't know who's doing it because I can't see who. So you're hiding behind the camera with angry faces. Smiley faces. It's all smiley faces. Okay, I've gotten that off my chest now. I've been waiting to say that. That was just fun right there. So we can say that it's easy to say that something being exceptional is something on the inside and it has nothing to do with what's on the outside until we get in a negative situation. When we get into a situation like, say, 5 or 6 weeks ago, when everybody was saying the coronavirus wasn't anything that we had to worry about, When politicians and everybody was just saying, yeah, maybe that's something that's going on over there, but it's unlikely that it's going to affect us that badly here. And now here we are in the middle of a situation. And now we have to deal with its reality. Now it's harder to see how it's just on the inside and not about anything on the outside. And that's the tension that believers face. We're in this place where we want to believe all the promises of God. We want to believe the Word of God. We want to believe everything that He says about us. We want to accept all of His promises. But it can be hard when we realize that the situation that we're in is no different than the situation that all of the unbelieving world is also in. They don't believe in Christ, and they're in this negative place. And it's easy for us to say, well, then it's because they're not believers. But when we as believers find ourselves in the same exact reality, it's difficult to say then that it's an internal thing and not an external thing. How can we be exceptional if we're not exempt, if we're not shielded from the negative situation in the world around us? And in fact, I think that that's an issue in the faith world around us, just in general in Christianity, that there's a desire and even a strong teaching that if you are a person of faith, then you are going to walk through life without negative things happening to you. And if negative things do happen to you, it's because of your lack of faith or you're an inability to believe, and that is also just pure wrong. Just pure wrong. And I can tell you 1,000 reasons why it's pure wrong, but neither you nor I want to take that much time to do it. It's incorrect. So how is it that we can say as believers that we are exceptional even in the same condition, the same situation as an unbeliever? And it has to do with our viewpoint versus God's vantage point. Our viewpoint versus His vantage point. A viewpoint is what we see from where we are located. It's a point of view. It's how we see things personally. A vantage point is a position offering a good, holistic view of the situation. So I see things right now. You look like a camera to me. I'm looking into a lens, and I'm thinking about all the tiny little people that are inside the camera body that I'm looking into right now. I know that you're not there. Your only viewpoint is wherever this camera is focused. You can't see everything else going on in this room right now because that's your viewpoint. But someone with a different vantage point can see the entire program. They can see where everything is. And if we could look down from space down to this earth and we could see into this room and we could see into the room that you're in right now, then we would have a different vantage point from which to judge the situation. Our viewpoint isn't always the best vantage point. It's a very narrow picture. In fact, that's why Madonna's video about COVID-19 was scorned online, even by some of her biggest fans. See, she put out a video talking about how the COVID-19 pandemic was the great leveler and equalizer of humanity, because we're all in our homes. We're all locked in our homes. But she did that while sitting in a milk bath with rose petals floating all around her, dressed in nothing but her jewelry. Now, I don't know if that's how everyone takes a bath, but that's not how I take a bath. And so even her most ardent fans were saying things like, "My queen, I love you, but things look a little different from outside your mansion than you might think they do." It didn't go well for her. Now, what she said was accurate from her viewpoint. But her milk-bathed, rose-petaled, financially secure viewpoint is not a great vantage point from which to see the majority's reality. It's viewpoint versus vantage point. Now, Madonna meant well. I have no doubt that she meant well. But she is the exception. She's in the same situation, but her experience is very different than most. See, we want the word exception to apply to our situation. We want to be the exception to the rule. When everyone else is dealing with this negative situation or negative condition, we want to be the exception to that. And here's our big idea today. God intends that exceptional describes who we are. We want it to apply to our condition, our situation. God expects it and desires it and intends for it to describe who we are as individuals. Exceptional describes you as a child of God, no matter your situation, no matter your condition. And I have three thoughts for us today. And thought number one is this, that God uses the situation to reveal the exception. He uses the situation to reveal the exception. Now, this is kind of what's going on in Madonna's world. The situation has revealed her as an exception within it. She is unique within the situation. Most of us are not living the same life and lifestyle within the COVID-19 pandemic around the world that she is. She's the exception. And the situation in Christ's life revealed him as exceptional. He rose from the dead because of the power within him. The difference was not in the situation. It was from what was within him as the Son of God. In fact, it was no different a situation than anyone else who had died and been raised up before. But his response personally to the situation highlighted his exceptionality. And it's exciting and awesome to know that his exception became our exception in salvation. But if we look at the Old Testament scripture, we find another example of an exceptional person in a unique condition. You see, Joseph was exceptional. He was revealed by the situations of his life to be an exceptional person. He was trapped by his own brothers who hated him. He was sold into slavery to his own cousins who hated him. And he was taken to Egypt who didn't know him. And he was sold to Potiphar, and he became a slave of Potiphar. We find Joseph in a situation where he is consistently put down. In fact, he goes from being a slave in Potiphar's house to being a prisoner in prison, falsely accused of a crime. And now he's in prison. And every single opportunity, every single situation was an opportunity rather for him to say, I'm going to just get a bad attitude about this. I'm going to get depressed and despondent about this. I'm just going to give up on life. I'm just going to give up on this situation. I'm just going to give up entirely. But Joseph didn't do that. He kept his eyes focused on Jehovah God. And every situation he was in, he engaged with the situation as if he was serving God himself. He served as master that way. He served in the prison that way. And ultimately, he served in the royal palace that way. He was exceptional within the context of his situation. Now, the blessing did not immediately result in his freedom. But each blessing, each situation, clarified his exceptionality. And that's a problem that we run into at times. We want our exceptionality to automatically exclude us or exempt us from the situation, to remove us from the situation. But that was not true in Joseph's life. He would work hard and things would go well, and it would seem like he was going to get ahead at this point, and then something else would occur and he would be knocked down again. And it seemed like he was just going to go lower and lower and lower, and the next stop would be death. Where else do you go from prison than to death? But Joseph, he kept his eye on Jehovah God. He lived within the context of exceptionality. He said, I'm not going to be like everybody else because I'm not like everybody else. I've got two dreams to hold on to. I've got something, a word from God that has been given to me, and I believe it. And I'm going to walk in that thing. I'm going to walk in that faith. Your situation is revealing something about you. Either it's revealing you as an exceptional person or as normal. Like anyone who does not call on Almighty God as Father. We cannot be transformative unless the exception is revealed in our life. Unless we are revealed as exceptional, we can't be transformative because the change agent can't be the same as the rest of the solution. It just cannot work that way. Basic chemistry lets us know that if the change agent is the same as the rest of the solution, there'll be no change at all. So the exception isn't revealed unless it interacts differently within the situation. And that brings us to thought number two. The exceptional one navigates the situation differently. The exceptional one navigates the situation differently. Stop looking for your exceptionality to result in your personal freedom. Don't expect it to release you from every situation or condition. I know that some teach that if you come to Christ and allow Him to be your Lord and Savior, then you will automatically be freed. And yet we find the disciples and we find the apostles being martyred for their faith. Everything wasn't beautiful in their life all the time. There were situations that they had to walk through, but the exceptional one navigates the situation differently. We would like for financial freedom to be our reality, and it can be our reality through good stewardship and applying the plans of God for our finances and our life. It can be our reality. We want freedom in health. We want to say, well, if I'm saved, then I don't want to ever be sick in my life. No, you're going to be sick at some point. It's appointed unto man once to die. At some point, all of us are going to die, and something is going to take us from this world and usher us into heaven. That is just a reality in a fallen world like we live in. But we are exceptional within the situation. We just navigate it differently. Allow your exception to reveal Christ's work in your life. When Jesus came back from the dead, the barriers that held Him back before couldn't stop Him again. I'll give you, for instance, in the book of John, chapter number 20, verse 19, the Bible says that Sunday, this is the Sunday after He's risen from the dead, that morning He rose from the dead. So that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, He said. So they're all eating because they're afraid of what's going on around them. They're not certain what they're supposed to do or how they're supposed to be. They don't know where to go. So they've put themselves in a room. They've locked the doors. And they're discussing things. They're eating together. And suddenly, Jesus is among them. Locked doors and walls were no longer barriers for Jesus. He rose from the dead, and suddenly the same things that held Him back. I will tell you that some of you, some of us, are not going to be held back by the same barriers of fear and anxiety when all of this is over. The barriers in your life will change because of how you navigate the situation that you're in right now. The thing that held you back, that slowed you down, that stopped your progress, it's not going to do that anymore because of how you've navigated the condition and the situation that you're in. Look at Joseph's interaction. With all that happened to him, it would be easy for him to start feeling sorry for himself and start blaming all the other people around him for the situation that he's in. He could start blaming his brothers. For sure it was their fault. He could blame the Ephraimites and his cousins, because for sure they bought him as a slave and they sold him to Potiphar. It was Potiphar's fault. Now, it was definitely Potiphar's wife's fault. All of these people he could blame and say it was their fault that he was in the condition that he was in. And yet Joseph doesn't do that. In today's world, we have plenty of people to blame. We could blame the Chinese. We could blame Donald Trump. We could blame our government. We could blame our state. We could blame our local municipalities. We can blame God. We can blame the virus. There's plenty of blame to go around for everything. We can find somebody to be angry at and to focus our attention on them. And say they should have done. The fact is, you don't know and I don't know what we would have done in the same situation. And that is not the problem we face. The problem we face is, what are we going to do? Are we going to be the exceptionality in the situation and keep our eyes focused on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who has authority over all of this? Or are we going to be normal, forget that God is our Father? And are we going to allow ourselves to focus on the wrong things? Are we going to blame the doctors? Are we going to blame our spouses for the things that are going on in our houses? Are we going to blame the dog for the problem that you have? Our dog just recently just got sick and messed up Pastor Benton's power cord on his computer. And he's going to have to forgive her for that. Jesus says that he has to. I'm waiting for a good amen from Pastor Benton on that one. Are we going to become anxious about our finances? Become anxious about our futures? Are we going to become depressed by all that we hear? We could just sit back and say, well, maybe I'm okay today, and I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to wait this thing out. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to be exceptional. And so we're asked to be at home and separate, but we're not asked to be isolated and alone. The church is becoming closer than ever. Pastor Benton talked about the phone calls that were made. I think that's awesome. Our church is communicating together more than ever before. We're serving our community like never before. Our response to this situation is not to sit back and wait this thing out. Our response to the situation has been, on every single layer of leadership in our congregation, in our faith family, is to say we are going to take territory from the enemy throughout this situation. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be the exceptionality in the condition, in the situation. And so if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that I'm calling for you right now. I'm calling for you boldly. I'm calling for you clearly. I'm not calling for you as a man who has all the answers and can tell you everything that you need to do and how you need to do it. I'm calling to you as a drowning man calling to another drowning man, saying, I found something to hold on to, something that will float in the middle of all this chaos, something that will lift me up, and he can lift you up too. I love the fact that so many people are making their finding their salvation in Jesus Christ, making him their Lord and Savior. If I found salvation, you can find salvation too. And our situation will reveal our exceptionality as we interact differently within the situation. And our thought number three, our last thought, is the exceptional one brings revelation. The exceptional one brings revelation. I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit right here, right now. And I believe he's speaking to you as well. I just mentioned that one drowning man can yell out to another drowning man that I found something to hold on to. The purpose of the exception, hear me clearly now. The purpose of the exception is not to rise up above everybody else. The purpose of the exceptional one is to lift everyone else up with them. Jesus didn't get up from the grave so that everybody would know how awesome he is. He didn't get up from the grave so that others could look at him and say, wow, isn't Jesus cool? He got up from the grave so that you and I could be saved. His point was to elevate the world. Anyone and everyone who would call on him to be their savior. He said, I'll take you there with me. I'll elevate you with me. He revealed salvation and he made it available to everyone. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the greatest piece of information humanity can know. The greatest piece of information. This is revelation revealed by the exception. Revelation delivered by the exception. John chapter 3, verse number 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus was not exceptional so that he could be awesome. He is awesome. He was awesome. He will always be awesome. But that wasn't the purpose of what he did. The purpose of what he did was to elevate you and elevate me, to allow us the opportunity for salvation. Look at the story of Joseph. Joseph was exceptional, not so that Joseph could become Egyptian royalty. He was exceptional so that the people of God could be saved. When Joseph's brothers came to Egypt seeking to buy food and grain, they didn't know that Joseph was alive. They didn't know that Joseph had been elevated to the second in command in all of Egypt. They didn't know that their lives were literally in his hands at that point. They didn't know any of that. And finally, Joseph, after a lot of discussion and a lot of gameplay, if you will, he gets into this place where he's sitting there with his brothers and they do not have a clue who he is. And finally, Joseph reveals himself to them and he says, hey, brothers, I am Joseph. And they completely freaked out. They weren't even happy to see him. They just thought that he was going to kill them for what they had done. But once again, Joseph reveals himself to be the exceptional one in the situation. And he looks at them and says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. He said, yeah, maybe your hand was used to throw me into that pit. And maybe your mouth was used to negotiate with the Ephraimites for me as a slave. And maybe you started the ball rolling on me being here. But make no mistake, brothers, it wasn't your fault that I'm here. And it's not your fault that I'm standing in the place of power that I am right now. God has used the situation around me to put me in this place. Not so that Joseph, not so that I can be great and royal, but so that I can save many people. He understood that his purpose was to elevate everyone around him. The situations of Jesus and Joseph were tough. Neither of them greatly enviable. Both exceptional. As a church, we've said, from our elders to our administrative team to our pastoral team to all of our staff to us as a congregation, to a faith family together, we have said we're not just going to wait this thing out. We're going to make a difference for the kingdom of God during this season. And that is the situation revealing the exception. We're engaging in our community like never before, and the community is recognizing it. That is the exception responding differently within the situation. We're consistently revealing the love of Christ Jesus and the hope that is only found in him. And that is the revelation being delivered by the exception. We are living out as a community of faith everything that I'm preaching right now. I'm just bringing it to our knowledge of what it is that we're doing. And we can do this as individuals in our homes, in our jobs. Because it's not what we're doing, it's who we are. And who we are is a byproduct of who, what we're doing, rather, is a byproduct of who we are. So I'm asking you the question. Does exceptional describe who you are? Or does it describe what you're hoping will be applied to the situation and the condition that you're in? What is being revealed by your life in this situation right now? How are you interacting with the condition of our world? What is your life revealing to the world today? Normal? Normal is anger. Normal is blame. Normal is depression. Normal is just waiting for it to end. Normal is just holding on. Exceptional is love. Exceptional is joy. Exceptional is peace. Exceptional is long-suffering. Exceptional is patience. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Exceptional is the fruit of the Spirit being born in your life and in mine during the most incredibly difficult of situations. Don't confuse your viewpoint with God's vantage point. He sees it all, and his promise is that he's working all of it for good. So you are not always the exception from the situation, but you are always exceptional in the situation because you are a child of God. And if you say today, I'm not that kind of exceptional. I don't know that I have a relationship with Christ that allows me to be that kind of exceptional. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. Right now, if you know that that's you, I'm encouraging you to bow your head right where you are. The Holy Spirit will move in your life in a unique and powerful way. And I'm going to ask you to just pray with me right now. You're safe. You're in your house. You're in your car, wherever you may be. Just pray with me right where you are. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the life of your son, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. And I repent of all my sins. Anything I've done that's displeasing to you, I turn away from it right now. And today, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. I receive everything that you have for me. And I give you everything that is in me. And from this day forward, you are my God, and I am your child. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, I am so thankful for you. I'm so happy for you. And I'm just going to ask you right now to just do us a favor. Allow us to celebrate with you for just a moment. And if you'll just text the word SAVED to the phone number 419-419-1565. 419-419-1565. We will send you a quick reply on your text, and it'll direct you to a landing page on our website, and it'll give you just some cool next steps that you can begin to take in your walk with Christ. We are so excited for you. We want to be part of your world and hope you'll be a part of ours. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I thank you for all that you're doing and how you're doing it. I'm asking you to use us for your glory from this day forward. We, as the family of God, we honor you. And we want to make the difference in the world that you've created us to make. Thank you that we can live exceptional lives. We are the exception. We're exceptional in the circumstance. And we have you to thank for it, Jesus. Amen and amen.